We're thankful for this privilege that God has given us to assemble in His name. I want to say too, and to all the visitors that are among us, that we're glad you're here. We're thankful for the visitors from the sister churches that have come to support us, and I too want to encourage you to follow the Lord tonight if you have been saved by the grace of God and allow the Lord to use you. Each one of us that have been saved, we should let the Lord lead us and guide us, especially when we come together to worship Him. We want to say to those of you that are here for the very first time, thank you for coming. We've been singing about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've been reflecting in these songs about what He has done for us, how that He has changed us, how that He has saved us, how that the cross made a difference in our lives. We reflected about that special day where we once were blind, but now we see. We once were lost, but now we're found. We once were a child of the devil, but praise God, now we are the children of the living God. And so if you're here for the very first time and you are hearing these songs, most of them are causing us to remember, to stir up our hearts by way of remembrance of what the Lord has done for us. And we get excited about that. Amen. We're thankful to know that we know that we know that we're saved. Amen. It wasn't something that some man convinced us of. It's something God's Holy Ghost assured us in our hearts. Now, it just didn't happen while we were walking down the street or while we were driving the car and we were thinking about earthly and worldly things. It happened when we were seeking the Lord, when we were repenting of our sins and looking to Calvary. Amen. Jesus said, except a man repent, he'll perish. And we heard that message. We heard the gospel message. The Bible says that the gospel of Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Everyone that believes, from the Jew first and also the Greek. And we heard that wonderful message, and it was powerful. It got hold of us. For most of us, if you hear our testimony, it went home with us. Even after we left church, for many of us, it got in the bed with us. It affected us upon our jobs and at work, and we couldn't sleep, and some of us couldn't even eat. We were so troubled about our lostness, being separated from a holy God, and it affected us. Our sins were affecting us. We call that conviction, being convicted of your sins. And Jesus said that if He would go away, that He would send the Holy Ghost to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And we experienced that. Amen. We experienced that reproving. We experienced that convicting. And we sought the Lord with all of our heart. You know, Isaiah, a long time ago, said, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord and He will abundantly pardon. And we found that to be true. We turned to God with all of our hearts and He pardoned us. Now I tell you, it's a wonderful thing, a blessed thing, a glorious thing. I mean, it's the glory of the Lord to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. That blood that was shed on that cross almost 2,000 years ago, it got a hold of us and it changed us and it cleansed us and allowed us the opportunity to go into the presence of a holy God spiritually and assured us that one of these days we're going to go into the presence of a holy God bodily. We're going to heaven. And my friend, if you're here tonight and you've never experienced a believing application of the blood of Jesus upon your heart and upon your life, you're unready for death. Amen. You're not ready to die. And the Bible says in the Old Testament that all men know that they're going to die. We all know we're going to die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Men know that they're going to die. They know that one of these days they're going to take their last breath. But glory be to God, we can die with blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You can experience that in your heart and in your life. I'm going to read some scriptures tonight taken from the 5th chapter of 1 John. In these particular passages, and we've been studying this on Wednesday nights, it's telling us in the 5th chapter how that we can have victory, how that we can overcome the world by faith. Do you realize that your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will permit you and help you and allow you to be victorious over the world? And Christian friend, if you're here and you've not experienced that, you need to get your heart right. You need to get your life right. Amen? Amen. Christians are to live victorious lives. We're to live lives as overcomers. We're overcomers. Amen? We can overcome this world. The Bible tells us in this 5th chapter of 1 John that we can overcome this world by faith. By our faith, we can live lives of victory. And I'm glad that I know what it means to live a victorious Christian life. Every time that I overcome sin and temptation, that's a victorious life. You know, every time I don't let the devil get a hold of me and deceive me or permit some a wrong thought to come into my heart and my life, I've had victory. Amen. We are fighting a spiritual warfare. Amen? The Bible says that in the 6th chapter of Ephesians that we fight with a spiritual weaponry. And he talks about the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness that are lurking to destroy us. And each one of us are acquainted with the struggles against them. Amen? You know how it is to struggle against the darkness of this world. But in Jesus, there's light. The Bible says in this very same epistle, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And if we would walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus continues throughout our Christian life to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good? Amen? Yes, a glorious, victorious life. All of us need to be living victorious lives in Christ Jesus. And we can do that by faith. By the principles, and I've been preaching a series of messages, I guess you would call them, about the elements of faith. What faith is, how it works. And you know, even as you live the Christian life, you've got to walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. We have to live by faith. And through living a life of faith, we have a victorious Christian life. He tells us in verse 4 about that. But listen, if you're here today and you've never been born again of the Spirit of God, you're going to be defeated. You're not going to meet the task. You're not going to be able to take the challenge of living a victorious life tonight if I preach that direction because you've not been born again. Notice what it says. It says, whosoever is born of God, overcometh the world, and says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Notice what it says there. He who exercises faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Now, I know there's a lot of people that think that it doesn't really matter what your Christology is. There's a lot of people that they're preaching and teaching. It really doesn't matter what you think about Jesus. Yes, it does. Amen. Sure does. Your concept, your thoughts, your ideas about who Jesus is determines whether or not you're in Christ or whether you're out of Christ. He goes on and tells us in earlier chapters, I should say, he tells us in earlier chapters that people who have a wrong understanding about Jesus, those people are the Antichrist. That's what he says. And so it's important for us not to just look at Jesus as a good man or look at him as perhaps a prophet. But you need to know him as the Son of God. I'll never forget, I had a Muslim living next to me for several years. His name was Maza, a devout Muslim. Prayed 7 times a day toward Mecca. I remember one night in the backyard, we got to talking about Jesus. And he said, yeah, I believe Jesus was a great rabbi. I believe Jesus was a great prophet sent from God. And I said, well, I'm not getting very far with this. And so I thought, well, I'll tell him my experience of salvation. And he was like, yeah. He said, I had one of those one time when I was praying toward Mecca. He believed Jesus was a prophet. He believed Jesus was a teacher. And he had some experience, some spiritual thing that went on in his heart and life. But he did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And listen, your experience of salvation must correspond with the great witness of truth that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Amen. And I told him, I said, that's not good enough. My experience is a Holy Ghost experience as a result of looking to the only begotten Son of God, the Jesus who is the Christ. Amen. That's right. A lot of people today have a wrong Christology, and I think it's critical to have a right understanding about Jesus. Now, I don't believe that Maza was saved. I know what the Bible says, that the devil is able to transform himself into an angel of light and deceive people with their feelings. That happens. Amen. He thought he had an equivalent experience toward Mecca as what I had in trusting Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. You know what's wrong with this picture? He had a wrong Christology. Jesus Christ and his deity is extremely important. In these passages, throughout this epistle, the Apostle John is confronting the Gnostics, and he was telling us that just claiming to be a Christian is not good enough even. You've got to know Jesus as the Son of God. Now, I'll tell you, we've got a lot of people today that are denouncing and denying the deity of Jesus Christ, and they are heretical, and they're not Christians. Amen. Amen. According to John, they're the Antichrist. And so it's important for you to understand that as you come repenting of your sins and trying to trust Jesus, you need to trust him as the Son of God. Amen. Actually, that was the witness that was given to us of the Father. Let's read on. He says this, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness because the Spirit is true." What did the Spirit bear witness of? It bore witness to the fact that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. Not that he was just some good man or he was a prophet. He's the only begotten Son of God. That's critical. That's important. John said it was. And he says the water, the blood, the Spirit, it bore witness that he was the Son of God. He says there's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit, the water, the blood. And these three agree in one. They're in agreement. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Amen. If you don't go through here and underscore Son of God, you're liable to miss the point that John is making in this chapter. The Son of God. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Now, I like what the preacher said last night, and it's very important for us to observe creation, and creation definitely declares the glory of God. I like what Jeremiah said when he knelt down upon his knees on one occasion in Jeremiah 32 and 17. He said, "Oh, Lord, Lord," he said, "behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm." And he says, "There is nothing too hard for thee." And I know there's a lot of people that may be refusing the testimony of creation. And the Bible says those that reject the testimony of creation, they're foolish. Foolish. But in these passages, it tells us that if you reject the testimony of God the Father, you're a liar. You make him a liar. Notice what it says. He that believeth on the Son hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us. Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He says, "These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that ye have eternal life." Aren't you glad we can know we have eternal life?
Amen.
Yeah. You can know that you have eternal life. I write these things that you might know that ye have eternal life. And that you might believe, what? On the name of the Son of God. What does he tell us in this passage? Who is a liar? Who is the liar? But the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Let's look at another passage. Look in the second chapter, verse 22. First John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar? Who is a liar but he that believeth, that who that believeth, who is the liar? Who is a liar? Are you guys reading this verse? Huh? It's telling us the person who does not believe, the person who denies that Jesus is the Christ, he's a liar. How is it with you tonight in your life? Do you honestly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Can you say that you know him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth? Who's a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, we have a lot of people today that deny that Jesus is the Son of God. And how can a person do that? Can a person do that by simply not responding to his love that was manifested, the Father's love that was manifested in him sending his Son? Can a person turn away the gospel and through that deny that Jesus came? He sure can. And so it's crucial for us to understand that Jesus came. And it wasn't that he just came, but that he was the Son of God. We need to understand and believe the truth about Christ. The work of redemption hinges upon who Jesus is. His sacrifice. The Bible says, "Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. God was seen of angels. God was justified in the Spirit. God was called up to heaven." Jesus Christ is God. There's testimony and there's witness throughout the whole book of John and God and John's gospel. He tells us over and over again about the witness of the Father. You know, you can read through the gospel of John and there's just evidence after evidence repeated that the Father gave witness that Jesus was the great I Am. In the words of Jesus himself, he said, I am the door. I am the shepherd. He's the good shepherd, my friend, that giveth his life for the sheep. He said, I am the bread of life. And he even told the Jews on one occasion, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew exactly what he was saying. He was declaring himself as God. And it's important for us today to maintain the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. It is important for us to maintain that basic principle that's found throughout the Word of God. In the first chapter of John, verse 1, John began his gospel by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We look at this fifth chapter of John. He tells us clearly, this is the record that God gave concerning his Son. There's a clear record throughout Scripture. I believe Scripture bears record that Jesus is the Son of God. The whole Old Testament, you go to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it describes his death in detail. How that he hung on the cross for our sins. How that he bore our reproach, as we sung in the song a little earlier. You go to the second psalm. It talks about his reign. It talks about his ascension. How that the gates, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors open, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is that talking about? It's talking about Jesus. Jesus. Peter, when he was preaching to the Gentiles, to Cornelius, in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, he said in verse 43, to him gave all the prophets witness that whosoever believeth in his name shall receive the remission of sins. He gave all the prophets witness. The Old Testament is a witness. All the prophets are a witness sent from God about Jesus. All of those types and shadows of the Old Testament, they're a witness about Jesus. About Jesus being the Son of God. Who he said he was. He declared himself the Son of God. Now that may disturb some people. But he declared himself as the only begotten of the Father. He declared himself as the Son of God. Why do we preach and why do we proclaim and why do we teach Jesus as the Son of God? Because it's extremely important. It is the witness of God. And the witness of God is not only in the Old Testament, but I contend also that the New Testament is God's witness that Jesus is the Son of God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good man. Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Gospels are a witness to us that Jesus is the only begotten of God. The book of Acts is a witness to us. It's a witness of the power of this truth that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Moving through the world. The epistles are a testimony of God that there's meaning to his life and to his death and to his ascension, his resurrection. There's meaning to it. There's meaning to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The book of Revelation is an accumulation of God's redemptive purpose and plan of the only begotten Son of God. So the whole New Testament, I believe, is God's witness of his Son. It is. There was a lady here a while back, and she was praying, and she was seeking the Lord, and she was wanting to know whether she's saved or not. And I said, do you have a Bible? And she said, no. I said, well, get one. Get a Bible and read. It's the record that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. I know some people say, well, how can I understand unless some man guide me? But the Ethiopian eunuch was studying the scriptures and he found the Lord. Amen. And so I encouraged her to find a Bible and study it. If you deny the New Testament and the record of God given of His Son, you're calling God a liar. You really are. And if you deny Him as the Son of God, if you turn away the invitation, you denounce Him as the Christ, because see, if you really understand who He is, you are duty-bound to respond to that truth. Duty-bound to respond to that truth if you understand in your mind and in your heart who He is and what He did. And if you don't, if you push it aside, you're saying, Jesus being the Christ? Well, you're calling Him a liar. I think people who turn away the gospel message, they're on dangerous grounds. You're on some very dangerous turf. Denying the gospel message, the witness that God has sent. Now, I could go through the book of John, St. John, and I think there's seven categories of divine witness found throughout the book of John. I know what Jesus said in the fifth chapter of John, verse 39. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have everlasting life, but they are they that testify, or they give witness of me. The scriptures give witness of who Jesus is. Listen, that's why the Apostle Paul told the young minister Timothy, you preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the scriptures. All scripture is given of inspiration of God and is profitable for us. We're to preach the Bible. We're to get our doctrines from scripture. Amen? Listen, if your doctrine has been birthed in your head, it's not from God. The Bible is the birth of theology. We get our understanding of what to believe and what to hold to from Scripture. He said, preach the Word. And so we're to preach the Word. Jesus said, the Scriptures are a testimony of me. Search them. They'll show you, they'll testify to the fact that I am the Son of God, and I believe this is God's witness to the earth. The Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's a witness from God that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You go a little further over in John. He was in the upper room. And he told his disciples in John chapter 15 and verse 27, he said, you are my witnesses because you've been with me from the very beginning. Amen. You saw all these things. The apostles and the disciples, they were God's witnesses. I believe they were almost the equivalency of the witness that was given to the world in John the Baptist. You look over there in St. John chapter 1. What does it say? There was a man sent from God. A man sent from God. Who is this man sent from God? There was a man, verse 6, sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist, I believe, was one of those witnesses that God sent to the world. He was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He was foretold of and prophesied of. He was sent from God to be a witness to Israel that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes. Yes, there are many. The same came for a witness. It says, he was not that light. He was sent to do what? Why was John sent from God to bear witness of the light. Look there in verse 7, what it says. Jesus said, the 8th chapter of John, he said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. And he basically said that in the 8th chapter of John, verse 14, and he said, because my witness is true, because I came down from heaven. I know who I am. I'm God. And that should have been enough, you know. But in order for it, in order that it might be established, according to the Jewish law that we read out about in the book of Deuteronomy, about things being established in two or three, in the mouths of two or three witnesses, you know, that's pretty critical. It's still critical today. Amen. Bible says not to bring a railing accusation against an elder unless you have two witnesses. Bible says you have a problem, an offense against a brother in the 18th chapter of Matthew. It says go to them privately, and if they will not hear you, take with you two or three people, that every word might be established by two or three witnesses. It's still important today. Jesus said, look, I bear record. I give witness that I'm the Son of God. But he went a little further in that 8th chapter, and he tells us, he said this, and I'll just read it to you, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I came or whither I go. And he dropped down a little further, and he talks about he and the Father being one. And he says this in verse 18, I am one. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. So not only did Jesus bear witness of himself, not only does the scriptures bear witness of who he is, not only does John the Baptist and the disciples, but the Heavenly Father himself bore witness that Jesus is the Son of God. There on that shore of Jordan, when John the Baptist baptized him, and the dove fell upon him, the Heavenly Father spoke out of heaven and said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Amen? He did. Bore witness. He is the Son of God. He did that on two other occasions. The Father spoke out of heaven. But he bore witness in many ways. Jesus said on one occasion, he told them, he said, the works that I do, they bear witness that I am the Son of God. And he says, the things that I say, they're not just my words. They're the words of the Father. And it's a witness of the Father. The words that Jesus spoke were a witness from the Father. There are many witnesses of the truth about Jesus that's been given to the world. I believe the church is a witness of the truth in the world. I think the preaching that's been done here this week is a witness against the world that Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God. We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand in his stead and we say, be reconciled unto God through Jesus Christ. And we do it in his stead as a witness of the Heavenly Father. Let's go back to our text just for a few moments, and I'll close. He that believeth on the Son, look at verse 10, hath a witness in himself. Aren't you glad that you've experienced that? That it's just not the story, it's just not the Bible, it's just not, and all those things are sufficient in and of themselves to witness that Jesus is the Son of God. But aren't you glad that when you came to him repenting of your sins and trusting in him with all of your heart, you came to know that he's the Son of God for yourself? Amen. Do you know that tonight? Let's get a song. Do you know tonight that he's your Savior? Do you know tonight that he is your Redeemer? Do you have something beyond just the story? or something that somebody told you. You know, if man can convince you of something, then man can come along and unconvince you of something. But if God convinces you, if you have the witness in yourself, God not only has given witness with Scripture, with the changing of people's lives, with the church, with the prophets, with the Old Testament. He gave witness with all the miracles that Jesus did, with the works that he did, when he went to the cross of Calvary. That's a witness against the world. It's a witness of God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe the witness of God tonight? And do you have his witness in you? If not, I encourage you to pray, to seek the Lord while he may be found. If you'll stand to your feet, is there somebody here tonight? You're lost and in your sins. You've never been saved by the grace of God. I pray that you'll repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came to redeem you and save you. He gave his life for you. He can provide you eternal life, and you can experience that tonight as we sing. Is there someone here lost? You've never been saved by the grace of God. You don't have the witness in yourself. Listen, you have to have that. You got to know in your own heart that you're saved, that you've been born from above. Amen? You have to know that for yourself, that Jesus is the Son of God. There is an intellectual belief. It's easy to prove the intellectual part. But you know you can miss heaven by 18 inches. The distance between your head and your soul. You got to know it in your heart as we sing.